Okay, let's go ahead and jump into this super fun episode 187. Episode 187. We gotta start talking about if we want to do anything for 200 besides just what we normally do. It's drone on and on pointlessly for an hour, and then call it good. Here we go. There we go. That's the beginning segment right there. Hello and welcome to the. Jeez. Hold on. Oh my, that's probably the worst one yet. Hold on, I gotta have a sip of water.
That's probably the best one.
Hello and welcome to CultCast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Joining me today with a menacing beard and Mickey ears, he spent the last week frightening children at the happiest place on earth. Buster Heidi is joining us today. Hey. We'll be hearing about his fun trip here just momentarily. I can't wait to hear all about Buster's Disneyland trip. Also joining us, if you've purchased Calvin Klein underwear in your lifetime, you've no doubt admired his incredible abs on the front of the package. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, fun.
Your abs on that package, Leander.
I know.
We should do a full episode just on your fitness tips.
On my 8-pack.
And your solid 8-pack. It's unbelievable how sharp those things are. They just look so good. We got a fun episode today. Lots of smaller news stories, wouldn't you say, Buster?
Yeah, a lot of little
Nothing
bits.
Major. Lots of little itty-bitty bits. And we'll be hopping through all that stuff. And we'll also be talking about Buster's Disney trip, as I said here. But before we jump into today's festivities, I want to thank Bushel for supporting this episode. Bushel makes a simple-to-use, cloud-based tool that anyone can leverage to manage the Apple devices in the workplace. So if you have a bunch of iPads, a bunch of iPhones, Bushel lets you do all sorts of management super easily. And you could also use it to say manage the iPads and iPhones for your family. Let's say your parents live far away, if you want to install apps remotely or manage their email settings, Bushel allows you to do all that, and you can use it forever for free for up to 3 devices when you sign up at bushel.com/cultimac. And if you want to add more devices, they are very, very inexpensive to add more. That's bushel.com, bushel.com/cultimac. And Squarespace. You know, the thing about Squarespace is if you need a website, I've said this 1,000 times, they make it so easy to get set up with a website quickly, but they have so much variety. So when you get signed up, you will be presented with all these different templates that you could choose from. And you can use those templates as is. You could be up and running with a website in no time at all. Or you can do what I did. If you head on over to cultcloth.co, that's the e-commerce site for Cult Cloth. I built that entire website on Squarespace's platform, and I just chose one of their templates, and you can drag in header images, you can tweak all the colors, you can tweak the layout. They really allow you to dig in and tweak things to your heart's desire, and you don't need to know any code. Everything is just drag and drop. You change a few numbers. They have color palettes that you can use. Very, very, very easy. And within 2 or 3 hours, I had a complete e-commerce website set up. I think it looks great. Check out cultcloth.co. You can see it for yourself. Fully functional e-commerce site. And there is a ton of very, very useful functionality built in. So whenever people place their orders, all that stuff is all those emails and the order emails and the shipping notifications are all handled in the background. I don't even have to do anything. It kind of just runs itself. Check out squarespace.com. You can sign up for a 2-week free trial. You can use Squarespace all you want for free for 2 weeks. And then if you'd like to continue your service, use code CULTCAST. CULTCAST. I was going to say Cult Cloth. CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. That could be a month of service or a year of service. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. They've been with us for a long, long time. And it always helps us when you support our sponsors. So we thank you for checking them out. Alrighty, Buster, we missed you so much last week. Wasn't the show last week with Alex just awful?
It was
Leander. We could hardly tolerate that guy. He's so arrogant now that he works for Business Insider.
I don't know.
He thinks his opinions are better than ours.
All right,
constantly poo-pooing everything we have to say. He's just like, I work at Business Insider now. That guy's changed.
153 million pages.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he talks about all the fancy drinks that he has with all his fancy friends. You guys didn't even get to hear all that stuff before we... He was droning on and on before we even started the show.
Right. Yeah. Really.
So it's good to have Buster back, who's just... He's just an average Joe, just like us. Except, you know, exceptionally good looking. And he also
and has... Hairy.
And exceptionally hairy.
So did you ride the teacups at...
Yeah, tell us about Disneyland, Buster.
I didn't. I went with my wife's brother and his wife and their four kids.
Oh, so it wasn't just
other
you.
Other family members. No, yeah, it was a whole okay. like family meetup thing.
So you were the nanny then?
Yeah, totally. It made me not want to have kids, like taking a bunch of like kids to Disneyland.
Crazed, like, wild children.
Except
they're just
have...
pains in the ass, you know?
Oh, my God. And Disneyland is like hell on earth, isn't it?
Oh, it's like... You know, you have the oldest two, they're fighting with each other. Then you got the younger two, and they're crying. Oh, my gosh. I just couldn't handle it. I would just laugh and walk away from them when they'd throw fits.
Okay, I thought it was just you and your wife going to this thing, and you just
no, that would have been
really
better.
Loved Disneyland.
Yeah. No, I love Disneyland. It's awesome. It's way funner when you just go with maybe two or three people, I think.
Was it just absolutely packed and so stinky because it was probably like 110 degrees there?
The weather like was way cooler than Phoenix, so I actually liked it, but it was hot. It was pretty packed, but I when I lived in San Diego, I had a Disneyland pass, and so I've become a master.
So wait, you had like a Disneyland, was it like a season pass or something?
Yeah, like an annual pass at Disneyland we'd go on.
Dude, you're like a Disneyland connoisseur.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you like it so much. You like Disneyland so much that you bought a season pass. How much does that cost you?
I think it costs like... 200 or 300 bucks.
Oh, actually,
but
that's
not bad.
It's worth
it if you go like twice or three times, it pays for itself.
Yeah, because aren't the tickets to Disneyland like $100 each?
Yeah.
They're insanely ridiculous. Expensive.
Yeah.
So what was the best thing that you did when you were roaming around Disneyland? I mean, besides frightening children everywhere around you.
The Indiana Jones ride broke in the middle of our ride. And so we were like stuck in the middle of it with all the lights on so you could see everything.
Oh, no.
And then they let us go again. After they finally fixed it, they were like, you guys want to go again? We were like, yes.
That's the least they could do. They totally ruined the magic.
Yeah.
You're like sitting there with all the lights on. There's some guy bent over, his cracks hanging out. Trying to fix the ride. There's like janitors walking around, some guys in the corner having a smoke. And you're like, what is this? It's supposed to be like a magical kingdom. There's some guy over there smoking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How long did it take him to get it going?
Maybe like 10-15 minutes.
Did they tell you what was wrong with it? Or they're just like, all right.
They actually said somebody like lost their bag in the ride. And they had to stop it.
Yeah. Some jerk.
Go find it.
I remember when I was there, like, I haven't been to Disneyland in probably 15 years, but one of the times I was there, I went with one of my middle school friends, and we went on, I think, the Matterhorn. You know, you have to sit, like, front to back, or you have to sit in the seats, like, in front of each other or behind one another or whatever. But you can share the seats, and when we were going on the ride, they didn't tell us that you were allowed to not share, because we thought everyone had to share. So I ended up sitting like in my friend's like open legs with my lower back pressed against his junk on the Matterhorn.
Nice. Sexy
and it started
times.
Off. And this is like a middle school version of me, right?
Matterhorn,
right. It was the worst thing that had ever happened to me up until that point in my life. It was so embarrassing. And funny enough, by the end of it, we were actually having a great time.
Oh, yeah, you were.
I just leaned right back in and put my arms up on his knees. And I was like, this is like having a little chair behind me. It's actually quite cozy. That's my my fun Disneyland story. Anything else happened, Buster, that was noteworthy? Did you get a picture with Mickey?
No, I didn't do any of that crap.
That's too bad.
It was pretty, you know, it was cool. It was Disneyland. California sucks. I hate LA. It's the worst city in America, I think.
Leander, do you like LA?
I was going to flip it, actually. I think Phoenix is the worst city in LA. And that's LA. Because Phoenix is just like LA without the beaches, isn't it?
It totally. Except
hotter.
It's hotter and there's not as much traffic. And I would say the traffic alone makes LA the worst city on.
Traffic's terrible in LA.
It took us like 2 hours to go 30 miles when we were leaving. It's
ridiculous. It's stuck on some freeway.
Yep.
The weird thing is that people know how to drive in LA, and if you don't get stuck on a freeway, driving in LA is actually quite pleasant, I thought.
Huh.
Except,
well, do you, you know, you'll take like back roads everywhere? Is that what you need to do? Like in the Californians on SNL?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, we took one back road. We were like, we were trying to get down to Santa Monica from West Hollywood, and we were like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go overland. Let's go down like, what's it called? Sunset Boulevard or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look that far, and it took us like hours, oh my God, forever just to get down there. But, you know, it's kind of nice to see the, you know, the layout of the city. But it is kind of like, you know, oh, look, there's a Starbucks, there's Forever 21, you know, and every block is almost exactly the same as the next block all the way down.
Yeah. It's just so huge, just gigantic.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it. The food though there, and the beaches there and stuff are incredible.
Yeah, yeah, the beach communities are awesome. We used to park the car up, and then we would take, you know, we took the kids there every year for years, and when they learned how to ride their bikes, and we would just like all ride our bikes all the way up and down the ocean front. So we wouldn't even get in the car all week. It was lovely.
That's the way to do it. I think if you're going to go to California and be a tourist, that's definitely the way to do it. Because if you get stuck in traffic, it ruins it. It really ruins it. I really like L.A. I'm one of the few people that I feel like actually likes L.A. But I haven't lived there. Maybe it would be different if I spent like an extended period of time there. I've only ever been there for like a week at a time. And usually I'm not driving around the whole time. And the weather, the food, the beaches...
Right,
the scantily clad men and women. Good, I like grief.
You feel it's a big city too. It's like being in London or New York. You know, you can just feel the size of the place, the buzz, the hum. And I love that feeling.
But it's really sprawled out. I feel like if it was more concentrated, I might feel that way. But when you're there, I mean, there's no high rises anywhere. It's just a really large city, but it's not a tall city.
Yeah,
it's not like being downtown Chicago or something where you're like, oh my gosh, this city is unbelievable.
Right,
it's like huge buildings everywhere. Cool. Well, let's start with some Microsoft news. I know you guys might be surprised to hear that, but we had some big Microsoft news. Actually, a couple big pieces of Microsoft news this week. It sounds like Microsoft might actually be wrapping up or significantly scaling back their phone business. Buster, what did you hear about this story this week?
Well, I think they said they were going to lay off 7,800 people,
right?
Mostly from the phone division. So, and they had just acquired Nokia like a year ago, which, so I think it's an interesting move that, yeah, they're planning to just get out of making phones altogether.
Well, I don't know if they're planning on getting out completely or if they're just going to significantly scale back.
Well, the announcement said they were going to concentrate on three things, right? Business users.
Mm-hmm.
It was business users.
And then it was like value proposition phones.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, right. Super cheap
phones.
Cheaper
phones.
Super cheap phones.
And then the one was Pads of Windows.
You can't even say it without laughing. What?
I know, all three fans of Windows. Windows.
Fans of Windows.
Oh, it's like, huge.
Is there such a creature?
They exist. Yeah.
There are super big Windows fans out there. There are.
And
there
unicorns.
I've met them.
Yeah.
and unicorns who like Windows.
That was a really weird. That was a weird grouping. But then, you know, value users. Why would you tell? You know, like it seems as though in the smartphone market, everyone is trying. You know, Apple's strategy was to, you know, attract the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
the people who spend money on their phones, and so, you know, going after the super super low end, which I already thought was like super competitive in the Android arena.
It is super competitive, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
but no one's making money.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. The only one that made any sense was like the business users, because, you know, Windows still dominates in a business environment. And, you know, if you made a phone that was like BlackBerry, you know, there's still, I think, a market for like a BlackBerry-like phone, you know, a phone with a physical keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That does super secure, you know, works with all these kind of exchange servers and all that kind of stuff that all the Microsoft infrastructure already runs.
Yeah.
It seems, it's like, you know, I don't know, it's just weird as hell. Like, why wouldn't they concentrate on business users?
Well, I think are going to concentrate on business users, but Microsoft's new strategy seems to be productivity everywhere. So they want to be the driving force for productivity on all devices, which I kind of celebrate. Their Windows or their Apple software, their iOS software, is actually really quite good.
Yeah,
at least some of the stuff that I've used.
True, and it's a software strategy too, which is what they're good at. But
right, and their phones. It's cool to see Microsoft do this and just cut back and just say, hey, look, this isn't working, because they're spending all this money on the, in this area, and they just aren't getting any traction. I mean, Windows Phone is just not working. I don't know what it is about Windows Phone, but people just don't want to pay for Windows phones.
Well, it reminds me of Apple when Jobs came back, mm-hmm. you know, and after 3 or 4 years, you know, they had like the PowerBook and the iMac and the titanium PowerBook and a bunch of really great products. They were really, really nice computers. And yet they couldn't get any traction at all.
Hmm.
And this seems to be kind of like, you know, where Microsoft is now. I think they have the phones actually, you know, are pretty nice. And I like the interface and I like all the live tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're colorful and nice looking and they're very responsive. I bought a burner one, like a cheap one. It was really, really cheap, like $40.
Why did you need a burner phone?
I was just curious.
What are you doing in your life where you need a burner?
Well, because I'm not doing anything with it. I was, you know, it was so cheap that I got it because I've been reading about it. And I thought, like, you know, I got to, you know, this is our business, right? Isn't it? Talking about technology.
Right.
So I thought I should at least be on top of it. And, you know, like at $40, it was almost the price of a, you know, I mean, that's the price of a meal at a restaurant. So
yeah.
And there's no commitment to it. There's no plan, right? So I was just curious to see what it was like, and I really liked it. I mean, to be honest, I didn't use it.
Yeah,
you know, it's not my only phone. But the plan around I've done with it, like the setting it up, you know, and it's all synced with all my stuff now. And I thought it was really quite good. And it must be frustrating because it's good. It's not like it's a bad product, which I think sometimes Android is. And some of those Android phones, you know, that especially when the manufacturers junk them up with a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, giant piles of dookie.
Yeah.
Huge stinky dookie.
Must be really frustrating for them.
Yeah. Nevertheless, I do think it's a good call to kind of pair back, and because they seem to have all these different phones that they were offering them. They were pushing this big, you know, Windows phone agenda, and they're trying to get other people to build them, but it's just not working. And so it's good to see them say, hey, this isn't working. We're going to scale back and we're going to do what we're good at. And create productivity software for other platforms. And they've been doing that for the Apple platform very well, I feel like, in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
And we just got another piece of news today that Microsoft Office 2016 for Mac is available for Office 365 subscription holders. And then,
what's the biggest story on the site right now, Buster?
Right. Yeah. That's a hot news item, Buster. Way to go.
Dude, people love their Office.
People love Office, man. I need to get me an Office, Microsoft Office t-shirt or something to start wearing it around. That would actually be pretty baller. That's what I need. I need to get on eBay and see if I can find a Microsoft Office t-shirt from Windows 95 era. That would be pretty cool. But, you know, as far as productivity software goes, I know it's not sexy like Buster, but it's important nonetheless. People need to have productivity software available. And a lot of the productivity on the software, I think, sucks. I think Pages is great. Numbers, I think, is a huge turd. I've never liked Numbers. And I have found it to be very buggy and just not very full-featured. Excel, if you need to make a spreadsheet, Excel is the gold standard. It's the supermodel of the industry.
It's horrible.
What do you mean? Excel?
Super confusing. Oh, my goodness. And then if anything goes wrong?
Excel is, it's almost like a programming language, I feel like, now. Because
yeah.
It can get so complicated with the spreadsheets and the formulas that you put in them and how to display them the way you want. I think it kind of gets complicated to use after
a while. Well, I know, but what would be a better offering? I mean,
I don't know, because I don't have to use any of that crap, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I mean, if you have to use Excel and then you use Numbers, I think you realize. I see your point. It's not intuitive to use. In fact, you can get like master's degrees in Excel, I'm sure, because it has a whole programming language behind it. I'm not sure if the Mac version still does. I know the Windows version does.
It does, yeah. Because if you like, you know, I can't remember what I did, but you know, you click on a cell and it would bring up this horrifically, and you try to change something and it would bring up this horrifically complicated,
yeah, like formula bar.
Formula, right? That showed you what was going on, and you click something and then it would mess the whole thing up, and then you're like, oh my goodness, how do we? And then I could never figure out how to get back. You do like Control Command Z, and it wouldn't work.
Uh-huh.
So then you'd have to quit without saving.
Uh huh.
To make sure that you could, and then so then I started duplicating all these things. So if I made any mistakes, then I wouldn't at least mess up the, you know, the original.
The formula bar in Excel is truly terrible.
And then also the ribbon as well. If you want to make any formatting changes or like do have you tried to make a graph? You know, I was trying to make some nice graphics for stories using Excel. I thought, oh yeah, I'll do a nice pie chart. You know, but there was about 4 million different options.
Yeah.
So
they just jam everything in there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, for those people who are actual fans of Microsoft Office, if you are a student, especially, I know students often have to use these programs. It's available on, if you're an Office 365 subscription holder, as I mentioned. And then I guess if you want to buy the software outright, I guess they still do that. I'm surprised they still do. I know that they're moving away from that. But in September, you'll actually be able to buy the entire Office suite for some unimaginable
like
price.
200,
yeah,
300
I'm sure it's going to be
expensive. Can you actually buy it anymore? I thought you could only subscribe. Or is it
used to be you could only get it through the subscription, but I guess they're going to sell it standalone.
That's surprising. I'm surprised they're doing both because, yeah, I thought they just went to subscription only. Maybe they didn't, though. Maybe they've always offered them side by side. But it's been 5 years since the last Office update, and people who do want to use Office, like, for example, lawyers. I know some lawyers, and they all use Office, right? And they love Office, and if they are on Macs, which many of them are, they are stuck on this software that has always been like the ugly stepchild of the Microsoft Office family. Microsoft has just never kept it current. And one of the things that Microsoft promised in the press announcement when they talked about the new Office update is that they're actually going to start releasing updates much more frequently and not every year, every 2 years, because the code base for this new version of Office is either the same or very similar to the code base for the iPad version, which I think is also very good. So they're going to try and keep this thing up to date more often. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Mac products don't make a lot of money for Microsoft.
Well, right. They used to. You remember back in the old day, the Mac BU, they called it business.
Oh, the business unit, right? Yeah.
And they had a big office down here in Silicon Valley, and it was headed up by that was one of the plum jobs in Microsoft because they were the second biggest Apple software developer outside of Apple itself, right? Mm-hmm. They were even bigger than
they
Adobe.
They probably still
I think.
Are. Well, maybe Adobe passed them up.
It was hugely profitable, and it was like I remember the couple of the people they got. Roz Hull was one who ran it. I don't know, but the guy that ran it before her was, he used that as a launch pad to go up into the sort of the vice president level up in Redmond, and it was like, yeah, that was a plum job, working there and running it.
That would actually be pretty cool. You're working at Microsoft, but then you get to work on Apple products with all the resources. Yeah. That wouldn't be bad at all.
Right. But they had a hard time, though. Whenever they went to Macworld, they'd set up in the booth, and people would actually go along and unplug the computers or mess them up.
Oh, nice.
It was totally me.
I don't envy those guys, right? Because Microsoft hasn't really been popular, especially with Apple people. And it kind of reminds me, I was at a beer Oktoberfest beer festival. And Seattle has a lot of really good beers, and there were all these private breweries everywhere with huge lines, right? And then for whatever reason, Budweiser decided to be there too. And their booth is totally empty. No one's there. And everyone's like getting hammered, drinking all these beers, and the Budweiser booth is just crickets, right? That's probably what it was like being at the Microsoft booth at Macworld.
Yeah.
People just don't have any respect.
That's why they had to give away stuff. They'd give away some cool stuff, and then, so people go there just for that, to get some kind of, and they wouldn't brand it. It would be third party stuff to give away.
Yes, Microsoft is notorious for doing that. I once got a Timbuktu bag, and it had a Microsoft Live book search patch sewn onto it, but it was like $150 bag. And these are the things they're giving away, so that people carry around the branding.
Was the patch on Velcro so you could just rip it off?
Unfortunately, not. Yeah. It was sewn in very well, very well.
Yeah.
What people don't realize about Office too is I was just listening to a podcast, Podcast Unlock, which is one of my favorite Xbox podcasts, and they were interviewing Phil Schiller, who is the current head of Xbox. And he was talking about Xbox being profitable, and they were quite a while ago trying to figure out what they're going to spend their money on, and they had like $1 billion to spend or something like that, right? Some astronomical number. And he was all freaked out because it's his responsibility to spend all this money. He wants to make sure he spends it right. But then he was like, and then you have the guys at Office who $1 billion to them is a drop in the hat. It was at the time, at the peak of Office, when it was the most popular, it was the most profitable business the world had ever seen, ever. That's how much money Microsoft was making off of Office.
Right.
I mean, they make so much money. Even today, I think a huge part of their revenue still comes from Office. I mean, it's just it's been a cash cow for them forever.
Yep, I know.
Couple notables before we move on about this. So we should probably talk about some of the feature upgrades. So retina screen optimization, multi-touch gestures. Gestures, rather. It'd be awesome if they had gestures come on screen when you full screen. That's a feature they need to build in.
The return of Clippy.
The return of Clippy and a jester hat. I'm all aboard that. And then full screen views and, of course, an all updated UI and I'm sure lots of other features. Let's talk about some actual Apple news. So we got some public betas today, eh, Bustier?
Oh, yeah.
Please do tell.
iOS 9 and El Capitan.
Oh, snap. Now, can anyone just hop on and sign up and install these right away?
You just go to beta.apple.com, sign up for the program, and then you can start installing them.
And it's free?
It is free. I would warn against installing El Capitan on your Mac, as Leander can attest.
Leander, you want to tell us your story, Leander? Of course, Leander, as soon as it was available, went out and installed it. As he always does right before we record a podcast.
And now I have an appointment at the Genius Bar.
So, Leander, I can't say I quite understood what your problem was. What happened after you installed it?
Something froze, and I can't remember what it was. This is like 2 days ago. So I'm working away happily. Everything's, I'm loving the split screen stuff. And something froze, so I had to... I came back in overnight, and I usually leave my Mac on overnight, right? I hardly ever turn the thing off. So I come in, I try to log in, and it's completely unresponsive. And I can't, and it won't do anything. So I give it a few minutes, I go make a cup of coffee, come back, and I start, banging on the keyboard to try to wake it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't wake up. So I forced restart it. I held down the power button, restart it.
Yeah.
And then it comes up, black screen. And it kind of flashed yellow, I think. And the progress bar starts, going along the bottom, and then it's just taking forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh right, okay, it's checking the file catalog, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's doing a like a disk utility. It's checking the files. So it doesn't finish though, and it just hung there for hours, and so. I spent the entire day yesterday goofing around with this thing, trying to get it, I've got it booted off of, I started up as a target, a FireWire target drive.
Yeah.
It's actually just Thunderbolt now. So then I had to go find a Thunderbolt cable and I hooked it up to my MacBook and I tried running disk utilities and that said it couldn't do it. So you do some searching and it's like, you need the heavy duty stuff, Disk Warrior.
Disk Warrior. Wow. I don't think I've even heard of that one.
You haven't?
No, Disk Warrior. It sounds sounds powerful.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Thor of disk utilities. I guess Thor.
They need. You're full of these. That needs to be on their package. The Thor of disk utilities. That's
guess
perfect.
How much it costs?
It's like $150.
Yeah, it's $120. By the time you add in some shipping, it's $130 and some tax, $150. So I run this thing and it goes through this whole rigmarole and it rebuilds the thing. And it says, we've done it. We've got it. We rebuilt the file system. You're good to go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, except the disk is locked. So you
what does that even mean?
Well, because it was going to replace the built-in the whatever it is I can't even, what's the word of the thing
like the file structure
the file structure uh-huh. the file directory or uh-huh. whatever it is so it builds a new one it examines the disk and all the files and it builds you a new one mm-hmm. and then what you're supposed to do is replace the old damaged one with a brand shiny new one built by Disk Warrior
okay
so all well and good except the disk is locked so you can't write to it. I'm like, disk is locked. What? It's a hard disk, How can it?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I know what to do. You get information.
Uh-huh.
You know how you do Command I.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And at the bottom there used to be a little thing that said, lock.
It was like a checkbox that you could check, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's not there anymore. There is a checkbox that says
you're screwed. It's checked.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah, cut a long story short. I mean, I went through everything, and and I think it's because it's a Fusion drive. It's a new Retina iMac, and it's a Fusion drive, which is actually two drives that are one logical drive. So to make, and I think that's the reason it's locked, because it's actually, you know, sort of a quote unquote a logical drive, whatever that means. But you know, it's a virtual drive or whatever. You know, it's actually so that I think if you unlock it, you can unlock it, but you have to actually go and erase it, which is exactly what I don't want to do.
Right, exactly. Lose all your data. At least you're backed up, though, right?
I am backed up, and you can see the drive. So I made some more copies and everything like that. But just the whole headache of going through the thing and you know, like setting it all up again just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah,
I really don't want to do that. Plus, you know, like there's a ginormous email archive that I've been keeping forever that I don't want to really migrate over. I remember that being a headache to set that up again the last time.
Well, this is why you, ladies and gentlemen, have to be careful when you install the beta, and you never do it on your production machine, especially not before you're about to do a podcast, because who knows what's going to happen. Don't they make you sign like 8 disclaimers, Leander, before you actually install the software that this might happen to you?
It does, yeah. And I know full well, even from previous experience. This is not the first time I've done this.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Nor the second time, I don't think.
I could use my phone for like 3 months with the early betas for the iPhone.
Did you install the iOS 9 beta, which is also available?
No, I didn't. Okay. I put that on an iPad, a spare iPad. So yeah
good idea. I would hold off on that. You need a backup for sure. How is the iOS 9 beta working on your iPad? Oh, do you have access to the news app?
I checked it out yesterday and I had a quick look around. Yeah.
Did you like what you saw?
Not really. It's all, you know, like for one.
It kind of just looks like Flipboard, huh?
Yeah. Plus, yeah. We're not getting a lot of love from Apple, which kind of made me a little bit depressed.
Yeah. Plus
our RSS feed is messed up. And because I was so busy yesterday trying to make my computer work, I saw there was some discussion about it. It's kind of arcane, apparently. It's like. It's based on some old RSS technologies, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You mean Apple News? No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's not the most modern. I think they made some choices, you know, because they want it synchronized between all your iOS devices. So it's an RSS reader that syncs through iCloud. And there was I didn't see the you know, in detail. I'm not exactly sure why this is not a good idea. But I think Brent Simmons, who made NetNewsWire, and some other people were saying, you know, like it was a little bit antiquated, I think, that architecture.
So you didn't like try to populate it with any news stories or anything? You just kind of took a quick look and moved
on? I had a quick look. I mean, our RSS feed like hasn't been updated in like 5 days, and it's a truncated feed, and so like ours is all messed up.
You just got depressed and you're like, I can't look at this.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Something else is broken. I tried to go into iCloud to try to fix it, and that crashed on launch, so I couldn't even fix that. Yeah, in fact, I had such a miserable day yesterday. I was going to go home and punch the cat.
I was going to say, go home, and then I had to go home and a few beers.
And the machines at home are messed up, and my wife's giving me a hard time to back up our photographs, you know, so I had to go home and do I was up till midnight last night playing with the computer. I was in such a rage. Stuff? Horrible.
Buster, did you install any of the betas?
I tried the last iOS 9 beta on my iPhone. I haven't tried the latest one.
Did you play around with the news app at all?
They didn't have the new news app on the last one, and it was just so buggy that I decided I'd hold off for a while.
Okay.
Like all your favorite apps break on it. You can't do anything. So
yeah, didn't you say that you regretted installing it, actually? Was that you?
Yeah, I did.
That's what I thought.
Definitely.
Did you stick a beta on your watch?
No, and I wouldn't do it on the watch either because you can't downgrade. I think they just made a way for you to downgrade, but
I had some people on Twitter say that they definitely regretted installing the new watch beta.
Yeah, because you just can't get off of it, and so then your watch is a piece of junk until it comes out officially.
I feel like ever since the last Apple Watch updates, 1.1, my watch has not been performing as well as it was, especially the heart rate monitor.
Hasn't it gotten worse?
Off. I feel like it's gotten worse.
Yeah, way worse. I don't understand how they made it so much worse.
I don't know either.
It was fine, and then they
It was working very well. Like, especially the heart rate monitor, it will... if I'm doing any type of activity and I try to take my heart rate, it's way off. It was saying my heart rate, I was like walking and it was like 140. I'm like, there's no way my heart rate is 140 right now. I can feel my pulse.
You know,
just
kind
of chugging
much.
Along. Yeah. I mean, I am 400 pounds and I never exercise. So maybe it was accurate. And then the other thing is I feel like the passive pulse checks that it was doing were accurate, and now they're not. And
mine doesn't even do those anymore.
It stopped completely. Well, it now won't do them unless your wrist is still. So if you're moving, it won't take your pulse. You have to be still in order for it to take one of those. Yes. Which I'm like, what's the point in doing that? I guess maybe to emphasize your resting pulse rate or something. Well,
if I'm the number one reason I would want it is if I'm on a jog, I'd like to see like my heart rate during the jog and how well I'm doing on that. So it doesn't even work now when you go on jogs because you're moving the whole time.
Well, if you set up an activity, like if you're on a jog, it will then work. But I've found that it's not accurate. It was, I mean, it was working fine. So I just find like when they update some of these products, like the first updates, yeah, they do. They get worse for whatever reason. Anyway, moving on. This was some fun news. We are moving fast now, guys. Showtime has announced that they are now available on iOS and Apple TV without a cable subscription. We are well on our way to everyone just moving to this model. This is so... Yeah. This is Showtime. So exciting.
Like, I can't wait to watch, what is that show they have?
Dexter?
Dexter.
Sex or, Masters? Oh, Masters of Sex?
Masters of Sex. Homeland. Homeland. You're thinking of Homeland, aren't you?
Yeah, and I didn't get into any of those shows, but they also had, was Mad Men on?
No, that was AMC.
Okay.
Penny Dreadful? I'm just reading what's on the list here.
$7 a month?
So this is the cool thing about it. HBO now is $15 a month, as many people probably know. Showtime is only $11. I think this is where HBO should have come in.
Well, you can even get it for $9 if you already have a Hulu subscription too.
Is Showtime is Hulu own Showtime or vice versa?
I think CBS has a stake in Hulu as well as Showtime.
Okay.
Or something like that.
$11 a month is the sweet spot, I feel like, for this.
Yeah, but how quickly is this going to add up? I mean, like, so if you get, you know, on premium cable, you get HBO, Showtime, AMC, ESPN, and, you know, probably, maybe a half a dozen more sort of premium channels?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus tons of other ones, too.
Right. And so if they're all coming in at, $12, $15, you know, you only got to subscribe to 5 or 6 or more, and you're right back there with how much you're paying for the premium cable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would think, at least for me, that I wouldn't subscribe to all these different channels individually. Like, we're waiting for like the Apple TV package, right? That has
right
a handful of them for a smaller fee. But the Showtimes and the HBOs of the world are always going to be pay per. They're never going to be part of a. Well, maybe. I don't think they're ever going to be part of a package deal because they are already so expensive on their own. Mm-hmm. And they have to pay for all those movies and stuff, all the content that they don't create. Whereas the AMCs of the world, like if AMC comes out, do they have a paid standalone product? Okay.
Not yet.
But they have 3 shows that people like. They have...
Oh, they got lots more than that.
Do they really? Well, they have Better Call Saul. They have Walking Dead. And yeah, they had... And they have what?
The new Walking Dead that's about to come out.
When is that coming out?
I think it comes out at the end of this year. Or maybe it's next year. Fear the Walking Dead or something.
I'm really excited about that. That's probably one of my top shows right now.
They also got Halt and Catch Fire.
Have never even heard of that show.
It's it's about like a computer company in the early 80s in Texas, like competing against like IBM. I just started watching it and it's pretty good.
Okay.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's really good. Yeah, if you're nerdy, you'll like it. I think.
You know, what other show everyone's just been going goo goo gaga over that I watched and I haven't really been that impressed.
Daredevil.
I keep hearing people on the internet, especially on Reddit, talk about the Daredevil. Daredevil's so good. Daredevil this. Daredevil that. And I've given it 3 or 4 episodes. I've tried watching it. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix exclusive. Yeah. And have you guys seen it?
I haven't because I saw the Ben Affleck movie and I'm like, it can't be that good.
That's actually a very valid reason to not watch it. That movie probably has convinced many people to not watch it. In fact, that one of the reasons I didn't want to see Daredevil was because of the Ben Affleck movie. I was like, if this movie was that bad, there's no way the show could be possibly any better. But thankfully, it's a big departure from the movie. But still, I don't know. it hasn't really been my cup of tea. Leander, you obviously haven't watched either.
I would rather stub my toe against the
It's getting better. I'm getting towards the end of season one, and it's getting better, but I would much rather watch...
Force watch, yeah. I got enough to... You know, there's just not enough time in the universe for that kind of thing. What about Gotham? People have gone on about that, and I was like...
Oh, yeah, I never watched that one either.
What show?
Gotham, it's on Fox.
Is this like a new show, or is it...
It's been out. They've at least done one season, and it's Gotham without Batman. So they have the kid from the OC is the detective guy.
Okay, yeah. I didn't watch the OC either.
You didn't watch the OC?
Nor do I actually know if I've actually even know what that is.
Anyway, but I don't... any of the TV superhero shows like Agent Carter or... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just feel like you can't do them justice on a TV show.
Well, as long as we're already on the topic, as long as we're in the weeds already, are there any shows that you guys are really super into these days?
I started watching this new one called Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Christian Slater as
Christian Slater's in a television series. Wow.
Okay. He's like a hardcore badass hacker guy who leads a bunch of other... He leads this group of hardcore badass hackers.
Uh-huh.
And it's only like two episodes deep, and it's on USA, which, you know, you wouldn't expect a good show to come of it. But it's
USA's had some good shows. They've had Burn Notice. I was like, none that I can remember the names of. But the crazy thing about USA is their shows are extraordinarily popular, I think, because aren't they available off of cable? They're a network.
Yeah.
So they can just broadcast their show to everyone.
Mm-hmm. You can watch Mr. Roboto on Apple TV, like the first two episodes for free. Like the dialogue is, you know, their writing for the dialogue is pretty crappy, you know, just, but other than that, like the plots and stuff.
Slater.
Are cool. Yeah. Christian
Dude,
Slater.
Christian Slater's, he's a boss. What are you talking about?
I haven't seen him Heathers? Forever.
Heathers? Leander?
yeah, right. Which is the last decent movie he made. This is what, 20, 30 years ago? He's awful. I absolutely hate his guts. He's right up there with Jim Carrey.
You don't like Jim Carrey? Jim Carrey is an American treasure.
Are you joking? He's a vax denier.
Politics aside, he is absolutely one of the most funny people ever to live.
He is probably one of the unfunniest people to ever live.
I think he's actually a really, really smart dude. I saw, what was it, Jerry Seinfeld's Riding in Cars with Comics. He was on, like, I think the last episode. And he's, like, super into painting or some crap now. I don't know. Jim Carrey
is he making silly, rubbery faces and being a complete...
He's being weird. That's for sure. Yeah.
He was being Jim Carrey. It's who Jim Carrey is.
His persona, I cannot stand it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I think classic Jim Carrey, probably the best...
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura is high up there, but I was actually going to say in Living Color, the show that launched Jim Carrey's career, where he played Fire Marshal Bill, and I can't remember the name of his other. Oh, Vera DeMilo, that really buff chick, the super buff bodybuilder chick. Do you guys not remember any of these sketches from Living Color? Oh my gosh. That was the golden age of Jim Carrey. Then, of course, he did Ace Ventura and he got super launched. But come on, Leander. He's got to make you chuckle sometimes.
Have you ever watched Dumb and Dumber? Oh, he's great.
Oh, my goodness.
Which one?
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, the classic Jim Carrey.
That's probably his best role. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be actually my favorite role in a movie that he's been in. Although he was really good in Liar Liar, too.
Yeah.
Okay, Leander, besides just bashing on Jim Carrey and his politics, what show do you really love these days?
Well, I was trying to think. I haven't got anything recently.
You're not watching anything?
No. I don't watch TV. All I do is fix computers.
I'll give you a minute to think of one. I've got a couple that I've been rewatching, and they're not new at all. I've been going back through Lost, which the entire thing is on... Is on Netflix.
Are you joking?
Isn't so
that...
bad, man.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It was good for the first two seasons, and then it was just like weird.
Well, there's a lot of shows that are like that. Have you ever seen True Blood? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was giving my wife crap for watching that the other night.
True Blood was fantastic. The first two seasons of True Blood were fantastic, and then it takes a huge turn in season three, and it's like all of a sudden, all these like special things that they were setting up, it's like they just totally went out the door. And that's actually kind of what happened with Lost. That show, I think that show had some of the most promise. Some of the things that they set up in that show,
right,
but were then they never mysterious and so engaging and drew you in so much, but they never fulfilled any of those promises.
But then rewatching it is just an exercise in masochism.
Yeah,
that's somewhat true.
You know they're not going to get pulled off. And in fact, I was talking about this. So, okay, you know, like True Detective, right? The new season of True Detective.
By the way, I haven't seen True Detective, so please no spoilers. Yeah.
Well, the original one, I watched the original one, and the first episode was fantastic. I thought, oh my god, this show is going to be amazing. So I ended up watching, you know, like the next show and the next one and the next one, and then it got worse and worse and worse. But at the same time, people were discussing it so much. It was such a an object of fascination online that what I became sucked into was all these blogs and all these recaps and people discussing all these conspiracy theories and all these interesting things about where the show might be going and what the actual mystery was. And so what was really happening was that I was getting drawn into this into this discussion, this big internet-wide mania for this for the mysteries of this show, and then I would tune in just to see what happened based on what I've been discussing online or reading online all week. And I think that's why the first series was such a huge hit, and the same with Lost too, right? Exactly the same phenomenon. It spurned like tons and tons of internet discussion, and that's really what I think drove the show towards the end, especially, right, wasn't it? It was that engagement online, not the show itself. The show itself was actually a really big disappointment.
Yeah,
I don't think the show certainly wasn't disappointing for me. Well, the last episodes were, because they spend the entire show setting up all these huge mysteries, and there's all these strange connections between all these different people on this island and all these bizarre things that keep happening, and you keep expecting that they're going to have some type of explanation to tell you what's going on, and they never do. They leave all that stuff a mystery, and then the show's over, and you're like, what the hell just happened? What about all that stuff that you spent 4 years setting up? Like, there's no payoff.
Why are you watching it again?
Yeah. It's like, and then every season, they would just start off somewhere totally different than where they left off. This is actually kind of a J.J. Abrams signature move.
Right.
On some of his shows, they spend a whole season setting something up, and then they come back the next season, and they don't even mention it. And it's like, and then you never talk about it again. And it's just totally gone. You're like, and then when you think about it, it makes you angry. You're like, what the hell happened? Like, why did everyone know each other? What were the numbers?
Right.
They never tell you what the numbers are. Sorry. See, got me worked up about it. But yes, I am rewatching that. And then also, before we move on to some more Apple stories, I love Star Trek. And especially the movies, but The Next Generation, the show, they have been remaking those in HD. So you can just see Worf on your HD television and just full 1080p, and it's glorious.
Remaking or whatever it's called.
I'm sorry, remastering. I don't know if they've completed all the seasons. I think there's like 6 or 7 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation. And for people that grew up watching that show, Captain Picard is like a father figure to us all and taught us lessons about life that we couldn't have learned elsewhere. And it's just, it's so much fun and so wonderful to relive all those shows in HD. Those are all available. I don't know if they were available in HD on Netflix or if it's just Amazon Instant Video. They're available in HD. One of them has SD and then one of them has HD. But I mean, going old school and just reliving those shows.
Actually, yeah, I rewatched the first season of The Wire because that's been remastered in HD.
Third season of The Wire is the best one.
The Wire.
Well, the really heartbreaking.
You've never watched The Wire?
No, I'm trying to think of who was one of the main actors.
Dominic West. It switched. Yeah, Dominic West, I guess, is the main guy, and then it just switches each season. There's like a whole new cast of characters filled up.
Dominic West. I'm looking him up. Yeah, I don't know who he is.
He's Dominic Gerard
Francis. Dude, his name is Dominic Gerard Francis Eagleton West. Tell me that's not a British name. That's his full name.
Is it really?
Yes.
Dominic Gerard.
Dominic Gerard Francis Eagleton West. Huh. That's like, that sounds French Canadian to me. That guy's got a ball. Yeah. He's got like 13 names. Go, that guy's awesome. All right. Let's move on to some more app stories. I thought this would be fun to talk about. We might even wrap up with the story. We'll see. We're kind of running long here, as per the usual. Have you guys, well, Buster, we talked about Apple Music last week. How are you liking it so far?
Apple Music?
Yeah.
I really don't like the UI of Apple Music. It's my biggest complaint about it.
I've heard multiple people say that. Confusing?
Just like a lot of stuff doesn't make sense. Like I'll want to get to like an artist page and I can't click it from their album artwork, or, you know, I'm looking for a certain song and it's not visible. Like on the artist page, I have to like go to the Beats One radio and like look through their log of singles to find one that I wanted. So, it's good. And like what I've heard a lot of people say they love is the playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, exactly. That was just ported over from Beats. Like if you subscribe to Beats Music, like there are some of the exact same playlists in Apple Music as there were in Beats. Like, and so, oh, they didn't even change that at all. But that's good. I don't know. Also, there's no social aspect of it too. And that kind of bugs me a little bit.
I've been missing that too.
There's supposed to be a really superb Brazilian social network for music that some people were saying this is like the gold standard for how to music socially.
Well, what's it called, Leander?
Unfortunately,
the gold standard. We need to know what it is.
My computer's busted.
You can't look it up.
You know, I'll try to look it up for the show notes. But okay. They were saying, you know, like because you can. It's not just a question of artists like posting up. You know, that latest video or snippets of their latest song. You know, you can see what they're listening to, what they're checking out.
Yeah, that's valuable stuff.
And more important, and also like sharing playlists with friends, right? That seems to be the biggest hole in this, right? You can't share playlists with people.
Yeah,
Which seems to be something missing. But didn't you have a tip for Buster for training? Playlists.
Oh, Buster, did you write something about this?
I did. I think Rob wrote that.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to talk about is training your playlist. So, like you, Buster, I have been confused by the UI too. And one of the things I have been confused about is just what those little hearts do. You know, so if you're listening to something in Beats One, or you're listening to a playlist, not one that you create. Those are a little bit different. If you created a playlist and you're like trying to train the station to like add songs or take songs away, but those little hearts. So the Loop did a pretty nice feature on how to train your playlist. Apparently, there's something on Cultimac too. We'll have to add that to the show notes, Leander. I didn't actually see that one. But there's some UI elements here that aren't immediately obvious in the For You section. So these are all playlists that Apple sets up and you can play them, but it's not immediately clear to me how to train this section. So the entire For You section can be trained. And the way you do that is by pressing the little heart. So in Beats One, in one of the playlists that Apple Music creates, you can click the heart and that trains the For You section to show you artists that are similar. But one of the things I didn't know is if you're in the For You section and you see an album there or a playlist there that you don't like, you can actually press and hold that playlist or press and hold that album and an entire menu will pop up. I didn't even know this existed. And you can say, I don't like this suggestion. And then it will take that suggestion away and help you to curate the For You section. And then also, what you listen to actually affects what this section will show to you. So if you listen to a song all the way through, Apple actually tracks that and will start showing you songs that are similar to that one that you just listened to all the way through because it assumes that you must have liked it, right? You listened to the whole thing all the way through. Skips do not affect the For You section. So if you skip something, Apple doesn't really take that into account because there's like a zillion reasons why you could skip something. So there you have it, how to train your For You section. And I have to say, I've really been liking my For You section since I've been training it. I feel like I'm getting tons of great playlists. Anyone else?
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I actually like the Beats One radio. I've been using that quite a bit.
Right, that's me too, exactly. I was going to say, I haven't played with playlists so much, but I've been listening to the radio.
I like Beats One radio, but sometimes, apparently it's just me since you guys are only using that. It just gets tiresome. It just gets tiresome. All the DJ interaction and stuff, I'm not always in the mood for it.
Right.
Yeah, my only complaint is that, you know, they censor everything, so you have to listen to the crappy versions of songs.
And that's right. Especially a lot of the hip-hop that they play.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
It's so bad, yeah.
And you also can't, like, you can't add songs. Like, if they're playing it on Beats 1 right now, you can't, from that screen, add it to, like, a playlist or go visit that artist or something like anything like that. It's not the best. It's a cool way to discover music if you're like, oh, that's playing, let me go to the search and look up that artist now and do all that. I just feel like Apple has not nailed the UI for it at all.
I don't think they have either. I think they actually, some of the reviews I've read had said it's a great product, but it has a lot of bugs, which it totally does have a lot of bugs, but it needs a lot of work. And I totally agree. It's just, it's definitely not perfect. Lena, were you going to add something?
Well, I found the name of that app. It's called SoundShare, and it's actually made by a guy from Brazil. So, but it has
SoundShare.
Yeah, it has a big following in Brazil. But it's called SoundShare, and it's a social music app. So, the idea is that you can share playlists with your friends, and you can also follow musicians and see what they're listening to as well. So it's like, you know, I guess it's kind of like the radio experience. I'm definitely going to check it out because it sounds kind of interesting. The thing I like about the radio is that you feel strongly that you're in touch with a culture, right?
Absolutely,
other music listeners. And I think maybe, you know, that's what for me, listening to playlists, that's what I don't like, is that, you know, you're not really, it's just you and your own and a robot.
Yeah.
An algorithm. But, you know, this sounds like maybe I should, you know, check that out, see if, because I'm not going to follow you, but I might follow Buster.
Julie! Oh, I'm sorry. Were you still talking? I was just trying to enhance your listening experience. You know, the playlists are, I like them because they're different than Spotify's playlists. Spotify has human curated playlists too, but the human curated playlists on Apple Music I've really been loving, because it's like when you burn a CD for that girl you like, or for, in Leander's case, when you create a record for that girl you like in middle school.
What? You know, what does that mean?
You know, like when you like someone. Oh, you know, like when you liked someone in school, Leander, maybe you may have never have done this.
Oh, you mean when you make a wax platter?
You make them like...
on your gramophone. How hilarious. I didn't even get that.
When you burn a tape or record a tape for someone, you put a lot of work into the songs, the flow of the songs, what comes after a song, you know, and the order and everything. And that's something that I think has a very magical... human element to it, and the algorithms never really seem to be able to make those connections like the human mind can. And so the playlists that I've been listening to on Apple Music have just been somewhat magical. I was listening to one called I think like Rock for Sunday Morning, and it was tons of really good, you know, low pace, kind of like not super in your face rock from like the 60s, 70s era. And it was spectacular, and it was only like 20 songs long, so it doesn't take 5 hours to listen to the entire thing. So I kind of switch back and forth. When I'm tired of hearing a DJ yell their own name in the middle of a song that I'm listening to, I go and I revisit the playlists, and just make sure that you're hitting the heart when you hear something that you like, in order to train the For You section, because I do think the For You section in Apple Music is quite good, but you do need to train it, just like anything else.
People have been saying it's actually kind of miraculous, right? It's like, it's really uncanny how good it is at sort of like servicing stuff they like.
Yeah, I've been hearing a ton of stuff. Like right now, I'm looking at it. It's showing me some old Bonnie Raitt. I love old Bonnie Raitt. How did it know that? Genius. Have you ever heard that
Bonnie
song?
Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt. Old, older Bonnie Raitt. You haven't heard of Bonnie Raitt?
No.
Really? Oh, man. She's like an American icon. She's like a country blues. I don't know. How would you describe her, Leander? Country blues singer?
I'm not too familiar with it either. What was her big hit? Like Total Eclipse of the Heart or something?
No, she said absolutely that? Not. That was not her. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Who was that? That was like an 80s song, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah, this is too country for me.
That was Annie Lennox, was it? Wasn't it? Who sang "Total
No,
Eclipse
it's
of the Heart"?
Oh my goodness me. Anyway,
okay, let's move on to the last.
No, I'm gonna look it up now.
I'm dying to know who it is too. I thought we'll wrap up with this fun story. I thought this was actually
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler. I don't even. Does she have a big poofy like blonde hairdo?
Yeah, she had the top ladies ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Her album cover just came to my mind. Yep. Let's wrap up with this story. This one was fun. And as many of you know, Apple is building their new headquarters in Cupertino, the spaceship, the Apple Campus 2. And as you would imagine with most technology companies, most companies in general, when they hire people to build a structure, they just let the contractors do their thing, right? There's a bunch of people running around and they don't really get too involved in the process because they're not construction workers, they're not architects. Well, not Apple. This this building is going to be amazing. And let me just read you this little excerpt from this Business Insider piece where they interviewed one of the construction workers who's working at the site. The construction worker spoke to them anonymously, and he said, every piece of this building is engineered. In other words, everything has been looked at and vetted and measured and mocked up, from the concrete to joints to rebar placements. Even the stuff that you don't see in this building is been thought of, and it is pretty amazing. I kind of embellished that last part. Sorry. I can't that. But I almost verbatim what he said. I only added a couple words. So, but the point being, this is Steve Jobs' legacy, I think, Leander.
Right, totally.
This reeks of it, doesn't it? I mean, didn't he?
Oh, my goodness. It's this story about, yeah, working with his dad, putting up a fence. And
this is exactly what I was thinking of, yes. Can you tell it? Yeah.
The carpenter, his old man's story was like, you know, that even if you can't see it, you know, if you put a piece of plywood on the back of a chest of drawers, you know, beautifully made chest of drawers out of hardwood, if it's got a plywood back on it, you know, no one may ever see it, but you'll know it's there.
Exactly.
And it'll bug you. So then, you know, Jobs was trying to make, he wanted to put Chrome on the inside of the Apple II, which is like the second computer he did. Just to, you know, because it made it look beautiful. He wanted to open it up and he wanted the circuit boards all laid out really beautifully and everything to be parallel. Yeah, it's totally got that kind of Jobs, perfectionism all over it. But it's also like, I think I think there's something a bit deeper here that Business Insider doesn't sound like they really nailed, which is, this is a modern, totally modern modular construction technique, the same way they built the Bay Bridge over here. Mm-hmm. You know, they cast it all off-site and they floated all the pieces down the river and it was put together like a giant, you know, what do you call it? Meccano. What's Meccano called in America?
I don't know.
Meccano, I'm not sure.
it's an engineering tour, you know, where you get all these pieces and you actually assemble it on site. And there's a lot that's going on, you know, with prefab housing. Mm-hmm. You can, a lot of construction these days is like, you know, it's built in a factory. Like those Chinese guys, you hear about the Chinese company that's trying to, they're going to put up the world's tallest skyscraper.
And they're building it in a modular fashion?
They're building a factory and they're going to do it in 6 months. Whereas the Burj Khalifa took, 3 years, I think, to build.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different, you know, it's a modular style of construction. And I think this sounds like exactly what they're doing at the Apple campus. Because the Apple campus, I think, is like a lot of it is cast concrete that's actually fitted together. And they cast it with all of the, the pipe and the ductwork, all of the sewer and, you know, all of the systems are actually built into the concrete, and it's like like an engine block, right? You know, with an engine block, how they have the cooling system. And then, so then they stack it together. It's already got all these systems built in place. You know, you don't have to lay it out. So it's a lot faster and it's also super efficient. And of course, it's like the engineering is much more, I think the tolerances are smaller than you can get, you know, if you're building this thing on site. So I think it's part of a bigger movement, I think, which doesn't sound like Business Insider talked about.
This place is going to be amazing. Do you guys know when this place is going to be finished and they're going to start moving into it? Have they talked about that at all?
End of 2016, but I thought they said it might have been behind schedule. I don't know.
End of 2016. Well, they fired their main
contractor, right, earlier this year, a few weeks ago.
Did they?
I think they fired there's a Swedish company. I can't remember what it's called, but they fired them. So now they tendered it out to somebody else, and it wasn't clear why. Of course, no one's talking, but we'll find out in lawsuits, I'm sure.
When the lawsuits come out, that's when we'll find out our information. You got to think. I mean, look at the Apple stores. This is going to be the Apple Mecca. This is going to be the place that every Apple fan has to go once in their life and see. So they've got to make this thing just an absolutely astronomical sight to behold.
You'll be walking through the trees, right? And then it'll be shining like a spaceship. And then suddenly this like robot parrot in the tree will go, and then the guys in the flying saucers will come out with a machine gun. You know, no one's going to be landing anywhere near that place. They wouldn't even take a picture of the model when we went down to visit Apple HQ.
Really? A super top secret, huh?
Super, super top secret.
And mark my words, when this world goes to shit and everything is falling apart, Tim Cook, just like Dr. Evil in Austin Powers, is going to run into his Apple spaceship. He's going to go into the special room that no one knows about. He's going to unsheath the button. He's going to hit the button, and that spaceship is going to take off and go into outer space. And Tim Cook and all of his friends are going to have a grand old time living in the stratosphere or whatever galaxy they decide to reside in. And we'll all be on Earth choking in the fumes of their Foxconn garbage factory.
It's like Elysium, isn't it? It's built to be of an orbiting space station.
That's right.
Have artificial gravity. It'll be floating above the atmosphere.
This is all the stuff they're secretly building in that we don't know about. And one day, I'm telling you, you're going to see that thing rise from the ground and fly off.
The peripheral buildings, the buildings around the side, there's actually a whole bunch more. The Apple Design Studios, and I think they've got the secret car racing track, where they're going to build the Apple car. They totally look like, sort of Soviet era, command and control center. So I think you're right.
I have no doubt.
I mean, exactly.
After hearing you describe like all the pipes and how everything's being fitted together exactly, it's like, what else are they building out there? This is going to be like the
Interstellar.
It's going to be like, well, they all fly off into space and survive, and the rest of us sit here on Earth starving and choking on the fumes of pollution. All righty. Well, with that said, let's go.
You better hear first.
You heard your first, folks. Let's go ahead.
That radio show where they have the weird conspiracy theorists. What's it called? It's still broadcast, isn't it? On some AM station.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure they broadcast that segment so that everyone can hear it and know that I called it first. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come talk conspiracy theories with us, we're on Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfont. And of course, make sure you're tuned into at Cult of Mac for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. Hey, if you need a website, please go check out squarespace.com. Get a 2-week free trial. And make sure you use code CULTCAST at checkout for any purchase to get 10% off your order. This has been the CULTCAST, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. And new episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys in space. You poor sucker. Because I'm friends with Tim Cook. I'm taking off in the ship. I'm going to be.
You're going to be on the space?
Oh, heck yeah. All the Tim Cook dance parties that I've thrown for him, he's definitely going to take me with him. You guys are definitely going to sit here and choke on the Foxconn fumes.
Yo.
There he is.
What up?
My little musketeer, or mouseketeer, rather.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have so much fun at Disneyland?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was good.
I want you to talk about it on the show.
Nice time.
I want to hear all about it.
All right.
Yeah. I want to hear you just tell me about going around in the teacups, round and round, just mean mugging some kid next to you.
I actually declined to go on the teacups because those make me sick. I don't want to barf on some little kid.
But that's so selfish. Think about what an amazing story that would have been for the podcast. You got to think about these things.
I just chucked all over this little 5-year-old's face.
I just wiped myself off with my beard and I left.